Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Today is the seventh day of Christmas, and that means tomorrow is the eighth day of Christmas. All right? And that means it's the eighth day after Jesus was born, which we learn in the Gospel of Luke is when what? What probably happens 8 days after a Hebrew boy is born? All right, I see hand motions in the back row. All right. You're circumcised if you're a boy. And this is when Jesus is circumcised on the eighth day after he was born, which also happens to be the new year. All right. If you're a German, you might be celebrating Silvesterstag tonight. All right. That's what they call New Year's Eve, or the eve of the circumcision and naming of Jesus. All right? And so Jesus was circumcised, yes, but he was circumcised on behalf of us all, male and female, right? Because we have faith in Jesus, and we receive all the benefits that he has. In that hymn we just sang, we talked about this glorious exchange. He becomes a person, and we receive his realm, his kingdom. And so he becomes a person, he is circumcised, and his circumcision, his perfect keeping of the Torah, is ours now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. For many of us who were born in the 20th century, you probably have been circumcised, all right? But all water under the bridge. As a Christian in Christ, you need not be. Because in Christ, he shares with you his perfection of the Torah, his perfect keeping of the Torah, right? And that's just great, because now both male and female can perfectly keep Torah by faith in Christ and not by outward acts. And so Jesus has brought a close in his circumcision to the requirements of the Old Testament. He's ushered in the glory of what we call the New Testament. So an old covenant, and now we live in the new covenant. Now, on the eighth day of a baby's life, we do not circumcise. Now we baptize. All right? Because it's a replacement. And this amazing covenant is open not only to Hebrew boys, but to Gentile boys, as well as Hebrew girls and Gentile girls. Everyone can be baptized. Now you are heirs of Christ's kingdom. You are no longer a slave, as Paul writes. You are no longer a slave to sin or the fear of death or to the desires and goals and temptations of the devil. Sure, you might lose those battles sometimes, but you are no longer owned by those things. You're set free in Christ. Now, right at the correct time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, born under Torah, to redeem, to pay for those who were under the law, you and me. Why? Why did Jesus do that? Why was he born? Why was he born under the requirements of the law? So that you and I could be adopted as God's firstborn sons. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, and we are especially sure if you are baptized, you have been made a firstborn son of God. And I insist on saying firstborn son, one, because it's the way the scriptures talk, but two, because that's a title. That's a title. It's a position. Firstborn son. What does that mean? Imagine you're in the medieval times, and you're the firstborn son. What do you get? You get everything. You get the inheritance. And your brothers, they have to, you know, go be a knight or join the clergy or what have you, right? Your sisters will be married off to princes and lords in the realm to make treaties, right? But the firstborn son gets everything. The glory, the title, the position, the lands, the serfs, etc. But now in Jesus Christ, by your faith in him, that's you. He shares with you that position, a firstborn son. And so we reflect on the Christmas hymn verse, mild Jesus laid his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth, being born again by water and spirit and baptism. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to this newborn king. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, today's gospel reading answers the question that you may have always asked yourself. What would it be like? How would my life be? What would my day-to-day life be like if I was a faithful Hebrew living in first century Palestine? Well, now that Jesus has been circumcised in the temple at Jerusalem 8 days after he is born, Mary, according to the Torah, the Levitical law, she is to undergo a ritual purification because she has given birth. And this will make her clean in a ceremonial sense before the Lord. And Jesus was to be dedicated and named, set apart as holy, because he is the firstborn male son of Mary. Now, both of these things were to happen in a specific place that God has set, his temple. It used to be the tabernacle, and now it's the temple. Mary would be made clean by Old Testament ritual one last time, because ultimately, she has been made clean and remains clean before our Lord simply by her faith in Jesus Christ, just like you. Thanks be to God. You and I are also made clean through the same way, by faith in Jesus Christ. You might not always feel that way, but that's why we confess our sins before the Lord and are absolved by the pastor. We may not always feel that way, but that's why we read his words that remind us. We may not always feel that way clean, and that's why we receive him at the altar, the forgiveness of sins. That's why we receive and remember the cleansing of the washing, not outside a temple for the purification, but for the washing of our heart, the purification of our soul. And so, yes, Jesus was to be dedicated as firstborn son in a temple, or the temple, Holy Zion, because God in the Old Testament, he said, come, dedicate your firstborn son to me, because I spared your firstborn sons during that final plague in Egypt. All right? And so from then on, when you had your firstborn son, you'd come and say, I dedicate him to Yahweh, because he spared our firstborn sons in Egypt. And so Jesus would be set apart as holy, not to be spared from death, the way that the Hebrew boys were in Egypt. Jesus would be set apart as holy, instead to die. He had a specific task, to die for the sins of all people, to spare them from true death, from true damnation. For all who believe on this firstborn son, Jesus, all who experience second birth into him by baptism, share in his new and in his eternal life. Now, of course, Jesus shares this title And Jesus shares this privilege of being firstborn son with you by the life-giving water of baptism. But take note of what Mary and Joseph did in the temple, right? So Jesus is fulfilling all of this stuff from the Torah because, well, he didn't have a choice, right? His faithful parents were observing and fulfilling all of the stuff from Torah, right? And that sets an example, right? The Holy Family. So you should take your family and say, how can we be more like them? Right? Be righteous. What did Mary and Joseph do in the temple? They sacrificed, as it said in the Torah, like it says in our reading, they sacrificed two turtle doves. Right? Two turtle doves. So they offered up the sacrifice of a poor family. So if you had money, you had a different sacrifice that you'd be paying for, right? If you had money, you'd buy a really nice animal and offer it up to the Lord. But because they were impoverished, Mary and Joseph, they offered up two turtle doves. They simply could not afford the more expensive sacrifice. And I think that this is just wonderful to reflect on. Because it would have been easy for Joseph to say, we don't have a lot of money, and that big fancy temple, they don't need our money. God doesn't need our money. I'm not going to do the sacrifice at all. But instead, because he was a righteous and devout man, he made the sacrifice that was required of him. Joseph did not skimp on his tithe, even in poverty. He was faithful. He was rich toward God. And we know what Jesus says about being rich toward God. And guess what? Because Joseph and Mary offered up this sacrifice in faith, faith in the forgiveness of sins that God promised in exchange for this sacrifice, that faith was credited to them as righteousness. And that's lovely. Because that means that they're just like us. We believe God's promises in faith, and he forgives us. He saves us. God doesn't care about how expensive your sacrifice is. What he delights in is your faith and his promise. And that's nice. But check this out. A righteous man, a devout man, a guy named Simeon, he was living in Jerusalem. And he was waiting, like all faithful Hebrews, his entire life for the Messiah Christ who was to come. And guess what? It so happened a flock of shepherds ran into the city 8 days ago, whooping and hollering about how angels appeared in the sky, bearing good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And the people meaning the Hebrews. They said, a baby has been born in the city of David, and he is the Savior, he is the Lord, he is the Christ. And we thought, you know, this is crazy. What are we seeing something? We stay up too late. But no, the angel said, what we said is true. And if you go and you run over to Bethlehem, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger. So they ran over there, and there he was. The child was there with Joseph and Mary. Joseph and Mary, that carpenter family in Nazareth. And so, Simeon, being a devout man, where would he know that he could see this baby? He didn't have to go look for him. He would wait for him. Because where would he be 8 days after he was born? If his parents were good Jews at all, they would be in the temple, circumcising their son, purifying the mother, naming and setting apart this boy as holy. And so he takes up baby Jesus in his hands and he looks at him and he worships God by saying this. He worships his God in the flesh. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. God, I am holding your promised Savior in my own hands right now. I am holding my own salvation. I can die now. I have your promise come true. Everything's going to be all right. Thank you, God. That's a summary of what he sings there. But when do you sing this? When do you sing these words? Yes, after communion. Though, you know, it'd be cool if we joined in with the church of old and we also prayed it or sang it before bed. Because you are praying to God that it is all right if you die now, because you have received Jesus. You have received Jesus in the flesh. And so if you pray it before you go to sleep, it's all right, Lord, if I pass away in my sleep, because I have received my salvation in Jesus Christ. And for that reason, it's often sung during last rites before death. And I've had the privilege of sharing that moment with many faithful ones here. But yes, we sing this immediately after communion or the Lord's Supper, because you have received Jesus in the flesh right there in your mouth. Maybe you've held him in your hand. The salvation and forgiveness promised by God is here for you right now in the flesh. And so you sing and you glorify God. God, it's okay even if I die now, because I've received the promised Christ in the flesh here and now. You join Simeon in singing the same thing. You're doing the same thing Simeon did. You are receiving Christ in the flesh. This is also the final thing that Joe Hauser did before he died. This is the last thing that Carol Minitello did before she passed away. This is one of the last things that Jan Kleinfall did before she passed away. And so we join them, and we join all the saints who have departed in peace when we commune with our Lord Jesus here at this altar, because we, like them, have received the promised Christ by faith. So, one last thing, and forgive me, I can't talk about Anna today, but I need to talk about how Joseph and Mary marvel at the things that Simeon says. But then Simeon blesses Mary with a very strange blessing. And if you're a mom, I don't know how well this would go with you if you're with your 8-day-old. Simeon says, essentially, Mary, lots of people are going to hate your baby. They're going to hate Jesus because he's going to raise up the lowly like God promised. He's going to cast down the proud from their thrones. He is going to say and do and preach and teach things that are true, but they hit too close to home with people. And people don't like to hear that kind of truth. In fact, they're going to kill him because of it. Mary, you're going to watch your own son be tortured and killed, and it's going to pierce your very soul. But rejoice, because from his death will come the redemption of all people. Be warned, because you are of Christ. You share his baptism, like we've been talking about this whole time. And so that means you share his life and his death and his resurrection. The same fate that became Christ may be for you, whether it be suffering or death on account of him or his word, or the deep pain and sorrow of loss and grief. yet rejoice. Because you are not slaves of sin, or death, or the devil, or fear. You have been made firstborn sons of the Father. And that means that the purity, the perfection, the riches, the wisdom, the glory, the strength, the might of Jesus the Christ, they are all yours. And so rejoice. Amen and Merry Christmas.